Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Advent devotional in the Great Christmas Carols. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. And today we're going to be looking at a carol that may not be super familiar to you, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night," written in the year 1700. And this is actually a carol that I have come to love in recent years, I guess over the past 10 years or so, because it's part of Andrew Peterson's wonderful Behold the Lamb of God Christmas album, which is the most unusual and most wonderful Christmas album in terms of a biblical sweep of redemptive history. It's not a lot of Christmas carols. There's an instrumental version of "Come, O Come, Emmanuel," an instrumental version of "The Holly and the Ivy." They do "When Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." The rest of it's all original songs written by Andrew Peterson that tell us why Christ was needed, going through Old Testament history, and then what he did when he came. So it's one of my favorite albums any time of the year, definitely one of my favorite Christmas albums. And we've live-streamed the concert the last 4 years. And so anyway, I really have come to love this carol through Andrew Peterson's musical, through his album. So we're going to take a look at it this morning and use that as a way of looking at the story of the shepherds and their role in this Christmas story and how God brought the good news to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for just waking us up and giving us life, because every day of life is a gift from you that we don't deserve, that we didn't even ask for, that you give to us by your grace because you love us. So, Father, watch over us and bless us and keep us as we study your word, as we listen to great music. We pray that your Spirit would write your word on our hearts, would help us to understand your truth, and would grow us in loving and following Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night." And also mute it. Oh, I did already. Okay, good. I've got to save that video for later. "While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. 'Fear not,' said he, 'for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign." We're going to focus our attention on this sign. "The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands and in a manger laid. Thus spake the seraph, and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, who thus addressed their joyful song." Now, Andrew Peterson changes the words to that verse a little bit because it's a little too 1700, but so you'll hear it when he updates the words to that verse just a little bit. "All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease." So that's the carol written by Nahum Tate in 1700. And here's our scripture passage. Luke 2. We're going to start looking in verse 6. "While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" One of the things that fascinates me about the way that we have handled the Christmas story over the centuries is that we have added so many details that are not there in the text. If you read Luke 2, if you read Matthew 1 and 2, there's not that much detail given to us. And we add all sorts of things because there's a line in our English translations that says there was no room for them in the inn, which inn might not even be the best way to translate that word, but still, we say no room in the inn. So we imagine that they went to the local hotel and that the innkeeper told them that he had no room for them, and thus they were put out in a stable. Did you know that even there's no stable specifically mentioned in Luke 2? There's a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals, but not necessarily a separate stable building, not mentioned. Like, there's so much that's not mentioned that we add in, not to mention things like the little drummer boy. But then, on the other hand, there are details that are there that we miss the importance of. You see, when we're not given that much detail, the detail that we are given is tremendously important. The fact that God brought the good news of Christ's birth to shepherds and gave them a sign is tied into what we read right before and right after our encounter with the shepherds. Right before, we're told she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So we do get the idea that she's there with the animals. They're laying him in a feeding trough. And we do get the idea that he's born in a very low condition. He's born in humility. This is the part of the humiliation of Christ for our salvation. And he's born in very, very poor and humble circumstances. We get that. But we're given this specific detail. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. And then, after we see the shepherds, we hear the angel. The angel says in verse 12, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So, not given much detail, but this very specific detail is repeated for us. And when it's told to the shepherds, it's told that this is a sign for you. Now, a sign in the Bible is not just here's how you'll know who he is, or here's how you find him. That's part of it. But there probably weren't that many brand new babies just born that night in Bethlehem. And there probably would have been enough to do, screaming, crying, commotion, that if the shepherds had just gone to Bethlehem and said, "Where's the newborn baby? Where's the baby that was born tonight?" Bethlehem's a small town. Most people were related to each other. And so it probably wouldn't have been that hard to find him. But they're given a sign. A sign in Scripture is something that is of spiritual significance. A visible thing that has a spiritual significance. So that when Jesus multiplied bread and fed 5,000, John tells us that after that he explained to the people, "I am the bread of life." When Jesus opened the eyes of the blind and allowed them to see, he said, "I am the light of the world." So you see, these signs pointed to a spiritual reality. And it's the same thing here. And this is why shepherds were chosen, not only because they were humble and poor, not only because they were societal outcasts. Yes, all of that is true. But these shepherds operating in this part of Judea, very close to the temple. Bethlehem's only about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem, and the shepherds are in that same region, right? They were in the same region. They're not in Bethlehem because they're told to go to Bethlehem, but in the same region, they're keeping watch over their flock by night. The single biggest use of animals in that part of Judea was for temple worship, for sacrifice. And the biggest day for sacrifice in all of the year was Passover, when the Passover lambs would be slaughtered. Every Jewish household was supposed to go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So the population of the city would swell to hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even a million or more, or 2 million. It depended on the year, of course, and circumstances. But the population of this city would swell by hundreds of thousands. And every family was required to sacrifice a spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish. Now, the reality is that some of them brought those with them. But you know, when Jesus cleared the temple because there were animal sellers and money changers, the best way for a Jewish person to ensure that they would have an acceptable lamb that was appropriately spotless was to go to the temple, have their local currency changed into temple coin, and then use that temple coin to purchase a priest-authorized sacrificial lamb. It was a way of fleecing the people for money, which caused Jesus to overturn the tables and drive out the money changers and the animal sellers. Yes, it was a corrupt practice, but it was a busy, busy business. And one thing it needed was a steady supply of spotless lambs. Not all lambs are born spotless. And there's no way of knowing for sure if a lamb is going to be born spotless. And so the shepherds would have their eyes open for spotless lambs, because they were the ones that would fetch the highest price. Now, when a lamb is born, it's very unstable on its feet, and there's lots of ways that a lamb could injure itself. And if a lamb injures itself, it's no longer spotless. So to protect the lamb from being spotted or injured, the shepherds would often take the lamb, wash it off, clean it, wrap it in strips of cloth, and lay it in the manger, in the hay, in the feeding trough. That way they could then transport it to the temple and sell it to the priests as a spotless lamb. So spotless lambs wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in mangers, were destined for sacrifice as the Passover lamb. Fast forward 33 years or so from Christmas, and Jesus enters Jerusalem in time for Passover. When he crosses the Kidron Valley and goes over the brook Kidron, on the day that the lambs are slaughtered, it is said that the Kidron Brook became a brook of blood, because as many as 150,000 Passover lambs would have been slaughtered in the temple. And as that blood was washed out, it would come down the hillside and it would fill the Kidron Valley with blood. And that's the valley that Jesus crossed over when he entered in a triumphal entry, but it's also where he was in Gethsemane and when he was brought back by the guards for his arrest and trial. He went over the Kidron Valley across the River of Blood as our Passover lamb. Peter says our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. He's the one whose blood covers us so that God's wrath would pass over us and not fall upon us. And the shepherds were the perfect people to understand this sign. And they probably made a big deal out of the sign, which is why Mary probably remembered that detail and reported it to Luke, the most likely source for the material in Luke 1 and 2, because Luke himself wasn't there and he wasn't an immediate disciple of Jesus. The most likely source for this material is Mary herself and her reflections. And so she remembered this sign that the angels gave the shepherds and that the shepherds must have talked about when they came to see the newborn king. Well, let's listen now to Andrew Peterson's version of While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. And I'm going to pause this. I'm not sure why the graphic is different. Just make sure we have the right song in here.
While shepherds shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated around. An angel of the Lord came down, glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled minds. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands, and in a manger laid. Hallelujah, 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 Christ is born. Hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ is born. Oh, glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace, goodwill henceforth from God to man.
All right, and that's the right album cover. If you're curious just to know what it looks like as you go looking for it, that's from Behold the Lamb of God from Andrew Peterson, a wonderful rendition of While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending your Son, your one and only Son, the Son you love, to be the spotless Lamb of God, to take away our sin, to bring us peace and goodwill from you, to bring us salvation by offering up his life for us. We thank you for Jesus, for his coming, for his life, for his death, for his resurrection, ascension, intercession for us, and for his coming return. We praise you for the Lord, our Savior, and we pray this in his name. Amen. 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 Well, please join us again on Wednesday and Friday of this week. We're going to be taking a look at the angels and doing a little bit of a study of angels while we listen to a couple of good Christmas carols about angels and continue through Luke chapter 2. Have a blessed day in the Lord.